Just to make sure we're on the same page when it comes to background, remember in Genesis chapter 1, God created, verse 27, God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God, that's a starting point, and God creates male and female. And, verse 28, God blessed them, so they're male and female are blessed. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and they were to do that. And the way to be fruitful and multiply was unfolded and had to be outworked in God's kind of way, by way of the woman. And to subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So now, having said that, and verse 31, God saw everything that he had made. Behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God did something wonderful in creating male and female, created he them. And they were to be the resident, the occupants of planet Earth that he had made. And he had made everything, sun, moon, stars, sky, planets, animals, fish, birds, beasts. God made all of that to be the part of our environment. And the key is not the animals or the birds or the stars, but it's humans. And God wanted them to be multiply in the face of the earth. And as you know, Adam and Eve were duped into sinning, and they violated the one thing that God, one test that God gave them, which was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they did. Now, in the process of that, so here's a plan to replenish, multiply. And in doing that, they sinned and lost the relationship to God that would make it a blessing, a wonderful thing. They lost that relationship. God had to restore it for it to work out, and God had a wonderful solution, knowing before the foundation of the world what he would do. He had a wonderful solution to Adam and Eve's sin. Now, over in chapter 3, and you would recall in verse 15, I will put enmity, hatred, hostility, as an enemy. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that's the serpent, and between thy seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed, humans. It shall bruise, he shall bruise thy head, the serpent, and thou, the serpent, will bruise his heel, going to take him to the cross. The Lord's going to win, of course, on the cross. But in the process, God spells out at the very beginning, there's no children, nobody, except Adam and Eve. And God starts out and tells them that there's going to be a believing line under Abel and an unbelieving line on by way of Cain. And so we're going to go down the corridor of time. There's going to be believers and unbelievers as you go down. And the seed of the woman is going to come from the humans. It's going to be a human solution. God's going to have a wonderfully human solution. And it's going to take someone, as we shared in Sunday school, going to take someone to pay the price for our sin because of our separation from God. And we can't pay it. We're already dead in trespasses and sins, so we can't pay it. God paid it when Christ died on the cross. Now, having said that up front here, going back to Genesis 3, Adam and Eve are there, and verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. Remember now, They've been told to replenish the earth, her seed, the children, humanity coming out of her. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother, because she was the mother of all living, because she became, she would bring into existence, she would be the mother, the supporter, the sustainer, the one who supports, the one who nourishes, the one giving dignity, honor, protection. She would be the instructress. And you remember from past that when the word mother is used in the plural, it is used of a city. We say a mother city, a mother nation, a mother race. Mother, the origin, the basis of something, someone, the basis, mother. Mother is the source, the basis. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, in the light of that, and she would be the mother of all living, and unto Adam also he said to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them? God took and killed the first animal, sacrifice. Animal would never take away sin, but it would promote and would anticipate the Lord Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem of Judea of the Virgin Mary. It would anticipate that, that would take away sin. Christ would die for the sin of the world. Now, so we said that. And in the process now, so here's the development. And having said that, mother, there are no children, there is no one. After that, after all the sin, the solution would come by the seed of the woman. God gave them coats of skin so that they would cover themselves in their nakedness. And they would cover themselves not with anything that belonged to them. The skin belonged to the animal. They would be covered not by anything of themselves. They would be covered by something God would do to cover our nakedness. Now, so having said that, looking ahead, then, of course, Adam and Eve had Cain, had chapter 4. They had Cain and they had Abel. And in the process, that began the sequence of humanity. And the source of Cain and Abel, Seth, etc., is a mother, is a woman, always a woman. Always, always a woman. God's way of doing it. God's program, a woman. A woman to start the game going. A woman to start it in motion. For a life human to come into the world, it requires a woman. For a life to come into the world, requires a woman. A mother. That's how it starts. No other way, no substitutes. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus in chapter 20. And in Exodus chapter 20, picking up, please, in thought, if I may, in chapter 20, you are familiar, of course, with verse 12. Honor, 20:12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, honor, to make something weigh a lot, to weigh something a lot. It would be like having 10 pounds and making it 20 pounds, making it 30 pounds. Honor, something that you pick up, something that you handle. It's like a great big diamond. Something you handle is worth honor. Something is very valuable, heavy, weighty, worthy. And thus, honor thy father and thy mother. And you remember, of course, that in the first four commandments have to do with God. And the last six commandments have to do with our relationship to each other. And thus, number 12, honor thy mother and father. That is the bridge. Here's God over here, verse 4. Here's the next five over here. and there's one right in the middle. In order to enjoy humanity being on planet Earth, you need to, and succeed with some measure of success, you need to honor God. First four commandments. Honor God. Where did you come from? I came from where? Not from evolution. No way. And all the different means of why, the big question, why are we here? Why on earth were you born on planet Earth? And in order to understand that, you cannot bypass mother and father. If I eliminate them, in a way, I just say, no, my mom and dad and grandfather came from a baboon. Or we're an overgrown chemical reaction, etc., etc. If I do that, that's no good. I don't come out good. God said the only way you're going to have it come out right is honor thy mother and father. Where did your mother brought you into the world? And where did mother and father come from? God. Whose program is this to multiply and replenish the earth? It is God's program to replenish the earth. So when I go to mother, I have to go to the first four commandments. And when I go to the first four commandments, I find God. And when I find God, I find myself, why I'm here. And then I go and look at the rest. And the world around me is full of humans that I need to relate to. And in and of and by myself, I can't do it. But God, you meant us to do it. So God, how did you help us with all the Ten Commandments that we could never keep? And all it did, the Ten Commandments told us, that God, if you were to step on earth, would you honor your father and stepfather and mother? He did. Would you steal? No. Would you commit adultery? No. Do you covet? No. God, as perfect man, you don't do any of that. No. And that's what I expect you. But we aren't perfect. We can't live up to that. No, you can't. That's why the seed of the woman had to die on Calvary's cross. For what reason? That in dying on Calvary's cross, God would pay the penalty for our sin. And in paying the penalty for our sin, we're able to come to God. And you're gonna, now, when I come to Christ, what happens? What happens? Here's the law demanding God's righteous rule and righteous requirements. And here is Christ. I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're saying it all over again to me, the Ten Commandments, I am. I'm going to give you the first four. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And now I'm going to give you the last four. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You're going to go and look to me, and I am going to make possible a wonderful, wonderful life that you could never do. You never have it, and it's all going to come because you honor your mother. If you don't honor your mother and father, where you came from, you're never going to get to God. Now, that doesn't mean everyone's nice and everyone's good. We've said it 1,000 times. It doesn't mean that. It just means that you understand the origin of how you got here. You had to have a mother. Good one, bad one, whatever you... No, known, unknown, immaterial. You had to have a mother. And you had to have a father. So don't get hung up with that, because God said you have to have it. And in honoring them, that isn't overriding and overlooking and being oblivious to the realities of life. It isn't. And thus in Exodus chapter 21, in Exodus chapter 21, the seriousness, you remember, of this, Exodus 21 in verse 15, He that sinneth, he that smiteth his father and his or his mother shall surely be put to death. I'll go to verse 17 for time. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now that's how serious it is to God. But you know, when you leave God out, you can go, like it says in the end of Malachi, well, God doesn't care about anything we do, think, or feel. And they say, oh, so wrongly, where is the God of judgment? We call sweet, bitter, bittersweet, light, darkness, darkness, light, good, evil, evil, good. We turn the whole thing around so that we can get away with this. And now, when you come to our day in which you live here, a Mother's Day isn't quite the Mother's Day of yesterday, to say the least. And it's a different day. You're at the end, the end. You're at the end where the church age of grace ends, where tribulation begins, and a great host, a great storm of unbelief. You think it's unbelieving now, wait till then. Wow. Now, having said that, so what are we looking for? You want to be encouraged. You want to stay on course. You don't want to lose that. So now, so looking to God, and remember that the heart without God isn't going to be very much encouraged. And the system doesn't want to include God. And if the heart goes with the system, the heart doesn't want to include God. And then the heart that doesn't want to include God encourages the system that doesn't want to include God. So it's a big circle. It keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger as we come to the end of the age in which we live. So now, in the light of that, honoring father and mother, and without honoring them, you'd die. You would have, but not anymore. Over, if you would, Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs in chapter 30. May I pick up, please? You are familiar with it. May I just remind you of it? The present state of things is not the best right now. And if we go back in history, it has not always been easy or good. And so Adam and Eve, the first child they had was a wonderful fellow named Cain. And he was so excited about having a wonderful brother, he killed him. So it started out not very good. Not very good. The first one they had. So you say, well, I've had children or whatever, and you're familiar with all that. They aren't angels. They aren't angels at all. Wow. Wow. Now, they aren't demons either. They're lost humanity, lost the function, lost the reason for being alive, why they were here, where they came from. Now, Proverbs chapter 30 helps us. You know, in verse 11, there is a generation, there is an age, a class, a kind, a race. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. So, boy, you mean that you're not all going to bring forth little perfect children? No, you aren't. They're all imperfect. They're all imperfect. And by the grace of God, we live in a society that is imperfect. And there's a wonderful Savior and a wonderful God to do a wonderful thing in our heart. And you would remember, as you read it, in Psalm 27. You don't have to turn there. When my father and mother forsake me, what? The Lord will take me up. So I'm not counting that the mother, I need to understand the sequence and the origin, and I don't want to push it aside and make believe it doesn't exist. It is the real thing. And I don't have to get to all the kook stuff, all the stuff out there, all over the place, with women's lib and other things and rights and stupidity. Wow. You don't have to get into that. That's all because we lost the standard, the formula for good healthiness. We lost it. It's disappearing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the parents then, do not necessarily produce a generation who know the Lord. In fact, they could be a whole generation that don't know the Lord, and they have no interest in knowing the Lord, and they don't care to know the Lord. And they produce another generation that cares even less than the other generation. But God always cares. God always cares. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. God always cares. God doesn't change. God already knew what we'd be like anyway. And in, if I can, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Remember, here's the Ten Commandments again. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, idols, etc., sun, moon, and stars. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. Why? For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation, them that hate me. And showing all the while, I have an end to everything. That's why historically, countries, people that are there, why does one nation disappear and a whole new nation come? Why does something exist and then it doesn't exist? Because in God's wonderful kindness, in the fourth generation or so, the land vomits up its inhabitants. And God said, enough, we're going to change. Doesn't mean it's better, just enough. And you get relief. And God gives relief to the land. God, third and fourth generation, etc., etc. But, verse 10, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thousands and thousands and thousands. So here we are all the way down the corridor of time, and God wonderfully, wonderfully cares, and God wonderfully, wonderfully is looking to be merciful to us, to be gracious to us in the world in which we live. That would be true in the tribulation for anyone, and in the millennium it would be true. So now, thus one can take and rightly act in the system, to make people think about God. They can do that, to think about God in a good way. Or they can ignore God, whatever. And God separates the saved person from the system. God separates them so that they can serve God. What's the purpose? You get saved. God separates you unto himself. The church becomes today, in these days, a brand new creation, Jew, Gentile, the church of God. A brand new creation. And so our emphasis, we understand, we get to God, we understand how God set it up, mother, father, male, female, reproduction, that's how God did it, and there's no other way to do it, no matter contrary to all the other things that are going on, there's no other way to reproduce the system. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew in chapter 10. So here we are, we're to be a testimony, believers are, to God in His grace on this day. And the purpose of Mother, was to start it off, and she had a very sobering, serious, wonderful responsibility to do so as a woman. And thus, in Matthew chapter 10, picking up, please. Now, remember now, you aren't looking, I'm not a mother, just in case. But I'm the product of a mother. And so are all you. There's no one here that isn't the product of a mother. No one. And that's our starting point. I understand my starting point. Now, Matthew chapter 10, picking up please, in verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance, at odds, against his father, and his daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So God, so you did something wonderful. We understood and we got to you. And when we get to you, God, we're to be a testimony to the whole world. They need to get to God. They need to know you as their personal Savior. Over, if you would please, in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, picking up please. In verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren, half brothers and sisters, stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And they, of course, they're trying to rescue him because they thought he was sort of crazy. Verse 46, 48. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? So, who is your mother? Aren't you honoring your mother? I am. In fact, on the cross, I'm going to tell John to take care of my mother. I didn't forget my mother. I'm going to tell John to take care of her. But now, who? God, what's it all about? We came from a mother. Hang on to that. And here we are, planet Earth, humans, by way of mother, father. Verse 49, answering the question, he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Remember now, here's this room full of people, and he puts his hand out and says, here are my disciples. Here's my family. Here's my family, right here. God, yeah, I've made you. I made you to have a wonderful relationship to me. To a mother, it wasn't going to last long. And you have to remember that I didn't come to save your family, human. I came to save you for my family. Difference. I didn't come to save your family and make everything rosy-posy. I came to save you for myself. Not about your mother. Mother's a wonderful, you couldn't do it without her. No matter how you cut the cookie. And we honor the mother. Absolutely. Wow. I honor my mother a long time ago, before she passed on. I honor my mother. Did my mother came to know the Lord as a Savior? That was a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Growing up, I honored my mother because that was the day you honored mother and father, school principal and policeman. You did it all, you know. And when I did wrong, well, my mother, I had a little more hair, and my mother did wrong. She'd take me by the head of the head and pull me, I remember, across the great kitchen floor. Yeah, you know, what did you say? And my mother's just a little, she would have, listen, I got her. I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't touch my father or my mother, I would rather die than touch them. Rather die. Wow. Now, so in the light of all of that, dear friends, here we are, my mother, my brethren, you gave us the wonderful privilege and right to belong to you in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. And the world we live in, so that's a wonderful thing, but the family life, not the stuff that's going on now, the family life, biblical father, mother, children, sons, daughters, the nice, healthy family life is vanishing. Even the word family will be changed to mean something else. So now, having said all that, well, God, what are we going to do? Well, nothing's changed. God's still the same. And we're from a mother anyway, no matter how they feel about it, no matter what they say. So now, over, please, to Matthew chapter 24. The days coming up are going to be difficult, to say the least. And that's understandable because of the system and how it's going to work out. Matthew chapter 24, you would remember in verse 6. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't be all upset. For all these things, M-U-S-T, must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So even though they all happen, and it all has to happen, it isn't the end. Not yet. For what are you going to have happen? For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. All of these things are the beginning of sorrow. Sorrow. What kind of sorrow? What kind of heartache? Chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, which was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now there's going to be a birth pang, pangs, a sorrow. What is sorrow, the word? It means to be having a baby. And you have a baby, and usually, it has a little bit of difficulty to it. And you have the baby. And what do we get? We're proceeding and reproducing humans, and they're coming out, and we're growing, but the humans aren't responding to the understanding, the order, mother, father, God. They aren't putting it together, and it keeps going the other direction. And as it goes in the other direction, birth pangs. So what is going to happen? Well, the tribulation is going to come. What is the tribulation like? It's like a woman giving birth. And what comes out is very traumatic, very difficult, very troublesome. It's not good. It's not easy. It's called great tribulation. Wow. Great tribulation. And thus, dear friends, the beginning of sorrows. And therefore, what are we doing? We need to understand in the world system, the normal, natural, the abnormal, the twisted, the sick, the healthy, all the good thoughts, all the bad thoughts, all the bad things, all the good things, the regards, the regrets, the blessings, they're all there, all our humanity going, bitterness, all of it, and it blossoms. But the trouble is, in that section of history that's coming up, it's a terrible time. Because what happened to mother? Mother's put aside. The whole thing has changed. So we're living in that atmosphere, headed to that. So you can look with great delight and joy about it, whatever. Be glad for anything. And don't let Don't let such govern and guide you. Don't let the present system knock you down. Don't get caught up in it. Too many people, too many people don't understand the day. And we've lost a whole lot. And the old-fashioned mother and father and family is very difficult to do, to find today. And our government and our system is against it. It's against it in every way. In every way. You remember the book I told you? The government wants to be our father. The government wants to be our father. Take care of everybody. Now, in the light of that, so here we are looking, beginning of sorrows. Things are not going as they could, as we'd like them to. Adam saw, and the first one he had was Cain, and that was heartbreaking, I'm sure. But there was Abel, that was an encouragement. But there's encouragement and things that are not easy, to say the least. And God's saving grace is there. God's mercy is there. God's plan, God's promises. To say, mother, with a right and a fresh understanding and thinking, that's my mother. That was my mother. I had a mother. That's what I want to do. And I had a mother because I had a father. And because of mother and father, I understand the purpose of where I came from. Therefore, I have to get to God. How can I not cross that bridge without coming to God? Why did mother have me? Because it was God's will. God's will to bring me upon planet Earth as I am. So I have a fresh and right thinking because of my mother. And because of my mother, that brings us into the place of opportunity and privilege to know God, to honor God, to know that God created me for His wonderful purpose. God loves me as a whosoever. Don't deserve any of it. No. But we are able to believe. We are able to be saved. We're able to have great purpose and great privilege in fulfilling God's wonderful will. And we aren't trying to save the world in itself. God died to save the world. God has to do that. But we should be a testimony, an intelligent, real testimony to a wonderful God who gave us life by way of the mother so that we could be in planet Earth and have a unique, wonderful experience to know the living and only God. In a very personal way, that we could be partners with God. We could be in business with God. Wow. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Philippians. And in Philippians, just to remind you, in case you forgot, when you get saved and come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, God does a wonderful thing and tells you to exercise, experience, and enjoy being saved. And thus, you know verse 6, 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So my mother finished her job when she raised me, gave me birth, and she's finished. And all you have, remember, parents, you only have delegated authority. That's all. All humans belong to God. And that we only have delegated authority to raise them. When we salute, job is finished. They have to be responsible. Now, So, God, you begin a work, and you know, verse 12, the end, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So, God, my mother finishes the job, her job. God, you continue and never finish. You never finish. Nope. I'm going to keep working and working and working on this. So here we are on planet Earth. We come to know the Lord as our Savior. We have a wonderful appreciation for being alive because we understand how we got here in the first place. And now, in the light of that, over, if you would please, to Galatians. And in Galatians, if I may, remember, we're to honor thy father and thy mother in God's will, by God's word, for our best interest, in society's best interest, if that would happen. You will remember the best thing for any society, historically, is when families are understood rightly, father, mother, children, etc. When that is practiced, a given nation enjoys great privilege. When you throw that aside, like Sodom and Gomorrah, you got nothing. Goes down the tubes. Now, here in, and so God, mother is a person just like we are. She came from a person. She came from a mother. So, here we are looking, God, and we don't want to give up. We don't want to give in. We don't want to give over to the world. We don't want to quit and sort of just slide along with the tide, with the river going in the wrong direction. No, we don't want to do that. No, I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it, God. And thus, Paul, you were in a very tough time, persecution, etc. And thus, Galatians chapter 1, he tells you, his mother, because of his mother. Galatians 1 and 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, that's how I was born. God, why were you born, where you were born, when you were born, what hospital, what day, what hour? That's God's doing. That's how you got here. God gave you life. If you didn't have life, you would have never breathed, and we would have put you aside. God gave you breath. That's how you got here. Now, I'll read it again. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Now, what was it? My mother, I'm going to honor my mother, no question. To reveal, verse 16, to reveal his son in me, a unique personal relationship. I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he makes us children, sons of God. Thus, having said that, sliding over in Galatians and in chapter 4. In chapter 4, picking up, please. What does God do? Well, he sent his son into my heart. And God, you're going to honor Mary. You came. Mary was the source of your humanity, carrying it. Chapter 4, Galatians. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. God, we're all there. We all got the sequence. How to go? To redeem them that were under the law. Reason, why was I born in the first place then? Because that we might receive, to redeem them, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption to be placed as a full blossom son with all of its privilege and benefits. And because we are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son, the spirit of God's wonderful ministry, is to make happen for us the reason you were born in the first place by way of a mother. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And what do we say? We say to God, Father, Father, Father. We have a human father, known or unknown, good or bad. But God, we were born of a woman, human, in order to know you. That's right. To order to know you how? As family, my brethren, my mother. What kind of thing is it? It's a marvelous thing. I have brought you into all that I am as the Son of God, as God Almighty, to give you all the privileges of God. That was my plan. And thus, to be called, in the end of verse 6, Abba, Father. So what are we going to say? We're going to say to God, my Father, my Father, my Father. Wow. That's when you get saved. And that's all because you had a mother. Now, chapter 4 and in verse 19. Chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I have travailed in birth, again, Paul, but you aren't a woman, no, but in my heart, God, what are you doing in my heart, in his heart? You're moving, Paul, to understand the appreciate being born again, being a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away, everything has become new, being brand new. Wow! And that overflows the good news. So I'm a light in the darkness. Right in the wrongness. I'm life in the middle of death. And thus, I gave you the gospel, and you came to know the Lord as your personal Savior, the same as I did. My little children, verse 19. My little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. What are you looking for, God? You got saved as a little child. All of you are different sizes. You came out of your mother's womb to grow up. All of you are growing up in different ways, different stages. In a world that doesn't care 2 cents about you fit in or you don't fit in. But with God, who cares, who loves, and looking, God looked to bring you into his wonderful family as sons, as children, as personal family. Like our Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants that to happen in your life. To grow up. To grow up. To be a son. Do you know, I was once somewhere, probably 3 years old. And if you ask me about what I'm talking about now, I didn't know anything. And I knew I had a father and mother in some measure. But you know, if I had stayed 3 years old, I would have missed out on a whole lot. No, I had to grow and grow and grow. And when I grew a little older and wiser, not much, do you know I appreciated my mother and father better? I regretted my father had to work 2 jobs to feed me. I wish that had not been. But it was hindsight and too late. Too late. But I grew a little bit. To be a father, to be a mother, wow. Now, God, here we are. And you want to be us to grow up inside. Let me help you very quickly. You know, you aren't in Colossians, just Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the fullness of God. True? Now, you'll have to go there. Over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Find a home. Chapter 2, as you know. Verse 9, same word. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in all of its deity, in all of his wonderfulness as God. And, verse 10, you are complete. There's the word again, fullness. You are complete. You are full in him who is the head of all principality and power. As a believing believer, you have, as we shared the other day, you can't have more of God when you get saved than you have. But the God who saves you and makes you a son, he wants you to develop. Develop how? I have a unique relationship. Do you? With the Son. To the full. God, in all of your wonderment. Not out here. Out here, yes. But also in here. And that fullness needs to express itself. I need to grow up. I need to get where I'm enjoying being a son. Being a son of the Father. My mother brought me forth in God's wonderful program to know the Father. Not my earthly Father, my heavenly Father. Spirit of God, you are treated like most mothers. Very unthankful. People are thankful, unappreciative, etc., etc., etc. Mothering is a tough job. It's a thankless job. God's ministry is a thankless job. But his job is continued to do what? To bring us to the Father. To bring us to the Father. That's what it's all about in the first place. So that we could grow up and be the human God meant you to be in time. And to be a wonderful, redeemed, saved soul. In God's eternal person, to enjoy him as Father. Wow. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us. We want to be all that we should be. We want to belong. God, thank you that we can belong. Rightly so, we belong. And that we can become everything that you wish us to be in your wonderful grace and mercy. God, thank you for being alive on planet Earth. Thank you for having a mother. Thank you for having a wonderful program to make it so that I could exist, that we could exist, and that we could have a wonderful, wonderful outlook, full of help, full of hope, into tomorrow and forever. Because of your wonderful plan, even by way of mother. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we could sing, please, a stanza in your hymnal, please, over in 564. Let's stand together as we sing.